That time again, everybody. It's PGA DFS season. I got Ben Raza back on the show with me. That's why I had to bring it in that way. Of course, a little nod to Ben as he has done in the past. And we're back. It's the sport of the year, and we've already got golf. And listen, I know it might be a no-cut event and only 39 golfers, but it is one of my favorite of the year. I love this golf course. I love the ambiance, and I love being able to turn my TV on at 6:30 at night, Ben, and see golf, some humpback whales, I mean, everything else. So it is January golf. Are you excited or what?
Definitely excited. It's good to be back. We got a little break. We warm up with a tournament. You know, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. There's going to be a lot of we'll see, because that's the reality. But it's still great to see it. You mentioned the viewership, the primetime nature of it. All of that is awesome. And obviously, we get 39 of the best players in the world. And I mean, some of them, then maybe that's a stretch. But regardless, it's nice to be back with everyone. Golf, one of my favorite sports out there.
For sure. Now, a couple of things first that I want to get into before we jump into all of our picks and our strategy that we're going to be using this week. First and foremost is the sponsor of our show, Yahoo. And if you haven't checked out Yahoo Fantasy, first, they've been running some great contests that have no management fee or negative management fee, and basically everybody wins. They've got golf contests up for this week, a 5K to first over there. I read a Yahoo article for their PGA DFS Cup, which is free to enter. So if you don't want to get involved with paying, that's a great way to break in. But another good thing is, if you haven't signed up at Yahoo already, you're going to get a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum just for signing up with them. What you're going to do is you're going to go and sign up. Then Yahoo will give us your email and you'll be linked in and get an email from us. So really cool promotion we have going on over there. You can also get and claim $10. Some more information is right in the box down below our video here. So check that out. Again, I love playing on Yahoo. I've been playing on it now for about a year since it came legal in Florida. And it's a really nice salary cap. It's a little different. If you're good at picking those, I'll say under the radar, minimum price guys, Yahoo gives you a real good chance there. I'd say even more so than FanDuel, Ben. I don't know if you've played over there or not, but that's at least my opinion. And then second thing I wanted to talk to you about is it seems now in my seventh year of doing this that we might actually get the golf coverage that all of us have been crying about. So I want to ask you, have you heard anything about the House of Mouse taking over PGA Tour Live?
I have not. What? Tell me more.
All right. So let's tell you more. First, we're going to get our normal featured groups, right? That's obvious. That's what we always get with PGA Tour Live. But we're going to get an actual feed of the first and the last par three. Well, not bad, right? But then we're going to get featured holes. So the best holes at every course, they're going to have every single group come through. Then they're going to have marquee groups on top of the featured groups. So a lot going on, a ton of coverage all through ESPN Plus. It's a pretty easy access to it. I'm not going to lie. I've had ESPN Plus for a while, and it's great. It's all going to be on your platform to choose from six different channels at one time. I can't wait to do it. This is not an advertisement for ESPN Plus. This is just me being excited for the golf coverage we've been waiting for. That was my first note on our welcome back. Any other welcome back notes before we get into some of our predictions, Ben?
No, I mean, I think, you know, what I always like to say, obviously, from the last time we've seen you guys, for some of you golf only, probably some new people watching, welcome aboard, whether you're just joining us for the first time or you're a regular. If you can hit that like button and subscribe to the channel, we're over 70,000. We're growing quickly. And then you're going to hear throughout the show, obviously, we have built the betting aspect up of golf. It's a part of golf. It's going to be a big part of these shows. And if you're into that kind of concepts, the Osmo Odds YouTube channel is available to you. A lot of VODs, a lot of great concepts. So just an overarching theme. I cannot wait to get into it from every angle because golf has so many different ways where we can attack and hopefully make some money.
And if you are joining us and hear some of our picks, Ben and I try to get into the chat and chat with all of you.
Right.
So leave your comments to us, what you feel about them. Sure, there'll be some disagreements. And of course, there'll be some agreements as well as we move on. So, all right, let's do a little bit of predictions here before we get into the players. And I did put out an article that gave some winner stats of last year and then gave some bold predictions. So some of you may have already heard them. But Ben, first, I'm going to give you my four major winners. Just quick. I'm not even going to give you a reason why. Just going to tell you who's going to win. And then I want you to give me your opinion and your pick. So Colin Morikawa, I think he's going to win Augusta this year. I think it was his first couple of times last year in his iron game. he's just, it's so good. And if he catches fire with the short game 1 week and it's Augusta, he won't be caught. That's number one. Number two, the PGA Championship, Victor Hovland. I think he's ready to take that next step. As long as he gets his golf clubs on time, which, Ben, I'll ask you about here in a little bit, I think he wins the PGA Championship. Then the U.S. Open. It's at the Country Club this year. A completely different setup in Brookline, Mass. than we've seen probably in 10 years at the U.S. Open. That's going to bring Jordan Spieth back into play. Mm-hmm. I think he is going to win the U.S. Open this year. And then follow the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Amazing venue. I think John Rahm is ready again to take that next step. I think he ends up winning. I think it's going to take him some time to get back into form because he's out of it right now, and we'll chat about that in a minute. But I think that'll be the time late in the summer for him to catch it. So, Ben, those are my four major winners for the year. Any you vehemently disagree with and any that you might agree with?
So I definitely like the second two more than the first two. It's going to – listen, I think everyone – there is a multitude of young players that are taking over. Morikawa has already done it. Hovland is just on fire during the swing season. People are expecting, you know, majors from him at this point. There's just so many guys. It's going to be a very interesting clash of the old school, like Rory, DJ, those type of guys. How many more are they going to get versus Scheffler, Hovland, Morikawa, Cantlay, like the group that's looking to just keep adding them. And then you've got the Bryson, Rahm's the best player in the world. Spieth is still there. It's going to be fascinating. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. It's so fascinating to see. I mean, and then there's Brooks, who for a while there was taking 50% of them. He's almost an afterthought now.
He thinks he's going to end up with the most majors at the end of his career still. But I mean, that's
inaccurate.
Totally agree. So any that you're dead set on that actually become a major winner? How about that? Maybe not specific tournament, but you think Victor Hovland, you agree there? You think he joins the major champions list this year?
No, I don't think so. He's got the talent. I think we know that. I just don't know which one. I think I agree that the PGA is the most likely. I think the Masters, it takes some time. The Open is such a weird situation. The U.S. Open now, at times he's shown he can deal with the hard courses. But I don't know. I think that for me, someone like Cantlay, maybe to get in there at the PGA in particular, would be a name that I might save him in one and done for a tournament like that.
Now, I think a good note here that I want to bring up as part of our tools here at Osmo that we have for the PGA side, the unofficial world golf rankings. Alex and I and Ben spent a lot of time on this, and what it is, it's a great way to kind of see where the official world golf rankings may be wrong or maybe heavily weighted towards other aspects. And we've taken our stats that we have and put it in and put out these world rankings. And I think for me, it'll allow us to go in and say, pick on some guys that may have a better year than what they're projected to be, or some that may be worse. Now, one that I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's going to be continued downhill for Dustin Johnson. I think he's on the back half of his career. Doesn't mean I don't think he'll win again, but I think he continues to struggle. It's been since the Masters that he's won, which is over a year, the longest stretch he's had on the PGA Tour. Now, the Masters win did count for last year, so his win streak continues. I think it's snapped this year, Ben. I don't think he gets it done.
That's going to be a very – if you are right about that, that's going to be someone that will be a lucrative fade early in the year, because he's a perpetual 10K plus option, and he is not here this week, but if he was, he would be amongst the 10Ks in my opinion. So if you think that, and then there's some guys like Abraham Ancer, who I think, and I can't wait to talk to you about him this week, honestly, you know, he sits in that mid range and I can't tell, does he feel, it's like Sam Burns too. Do they feel overpriced or actually still underpriced, and they're legitimately top 10 in the world type players? That is something we're going to see unfold right before our eyes.
Yeah, the thing I like about Ancer, just really quickly, is he doesn't care that he doesn't hit it far. He's going to hit way more fairways than everybody else and play to the strengths of his game. You don't find many people that are going to do that, and a lot of people are chasing that distance. I was listening to him talk, and he said, listen, I could chase distance, but it would affect everything else that I do. So very interesting. I like a player that knows his game. Check out our unofficial world golf rankings. A really cool tool there. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about the Century Tournament of Champions. Ben already mentioned 39 golfers here, 7 of the top 10 in the world, 28 of the top 50. Certainly sounds like the strongest field ever at this tournament, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty loaded, no doubt about it. A nice spread. No Rory, no DJ, but everyone else in terms of the winners are here. Great course. You've been there, have you not?
Yeah, I have. It's I was going to bring that up in the next category, but I like the lead in. Thank you. I played here and I've been to the tournament. First of all, if you're a golf fan and you love the game and you have the chance to go to Maui to this tournament, it is unparalleled access to these guys. It's amazing. It's so fun. The course is absolutely incredible. Highly recommend it. It is a very unique course, and it's a par 73 setup first. And it's actually, it's been here since 1999. So obviously everybody loves coming here. The tour loves hosting it here. A couple of other things. There's only three par threes. What do you make of that? I mean, it's just a weird setup.
Super weird setup. Yeah. The par 73, obviously very generous fairways. You can bomb. I mean, it's typical of, you know, the beginning of the year, they're not going to put guys in a torture chamber to get them going. They're in Hawaii. You play this, you play Sony, you get your year started. So I expect low scoring. I expect very easy conditions. And I expect a lot of ways to attack it, from Bryson, who may dismantle the course, to what we saw last year with Harris English. Obviously, that wasn't his strategy, and it was very effective.
It sure was. Now, only 39 players, as we mentioned. So going to be a little tough to differentiate, but a good week to get started and use our PGA rankings. That tool is free here today for us. And what that does, it's just going to rank the players for this week, 1 to 39, based off of the projections that Alex creates and the team creates. So a really fun and easy tool just to go in and see, all right, you know, who is Alex's model ranking from 1 to 39 this week. Of course, we'll talk about another tool that Ben and I love here coming up in a minute. But if you want access to all of these great tools, well, we've got a great promotion to start 2022. It is 20% off a year of Osmo Plus Platinum. That's our first one. And then our second one is 22 days of Osmo Plus Platinum for $20. That promo code is 2022. It's a really great way to get in. And listen, Ben, results speak for themselves. We've had three, not one, not two, but three Millionaire Maker winners in the last 48 hours on the Osmo team. One of them was split last night. But listen, Najee Harris going for a 50-yard touchdown and winning a member there, 1 million. That is a really cool story. You absolutely love to hear it. So come on, join the Osmo Plus team. We are rocking and rolling right now. So any other notes about Kapalua? I think the only other one I had is the 700-yard par 5 on 18. I want to say this. I even hit it 350 yards off the tee. So the guys can still reach it in two. Most in the field at least can. Anything else you want to make note? Drivable par 4 on the backside is kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it's that kind of course. Again, it's going to give players a multitude of options. So I don't think this is a tournament where it's like, oh, we only need to target this type of play. I think anyone can excel here. We've seen those guys lay back. You're going to be in the fairway. You got to make putts. I think we all know that. And it's generous fairways, low scoring. It's some really good players playing their first tournament in probably a while. So I take that for what it's worth. Kapalua, the only other good thing, you know, Jason, that we've seen this course a million times. This is not an unknown. Kapalua is on the schedule every single year.
No, it really is. And I love it. I hope it never goes away as long as you and I are doing this. So, okay. Let's move on to the top of the board here. And of course, in the background, you're going to see some of our pro plays, which is another great tool that we have. This is a tool that's probably one of my favorite because it shows our GPP rankings. This is not, you know, the model projections. This is, we've taken ownership into account. We've taken projections into account. And these are our allocations for the week. So it's, you know, maybe not exact allocations, but it's who we are ranking 1 to 39, for example, this week. So let's first talk about John Rahm. Looks like he's projecting to be the lowest owned golfer above, say, 10,000, say, 9,500, and did not have a good fall. So he gets the top price still, as he should, number one golfer in the world. But are you concerned about what we saw 2 months ago, or do you think he's had enough off time to kind of relax and recuperate, if you will? And he got COVID twice in that span, too.
Yes. It was quite a string, and obviously that cost him an additional win. What was that, Memorial?
Yep.
Yeah, when Cantlay won. But
it was a John Rahm win, but
That was... I'm not really worried about it. I do find it interesting that, you know, the guy who leads off pricing, the guy who all in all has been one of the most, if not the most consistent player in the world, is not coming in at like nosebleed ownership, anything like that. In fact, you just mentioned it. He could be amongst the lower owned relative to the range. And that is very interesting. So I don't mind going to Rahm if that's the case. I'll just say this. I think that Justin Thomas is going to be the most popular play. He's destroyed this course before. He destroys easy courses. He's built for this. I get it. I just don't really understand why people are that apprehensive to go to Rahm.
Yeah. I can't either because, I mean, again, recency bias, what are we looking for as our recent? 2 months ago in November seems kind of far away. So, yeah, I think I'm there with you on being able to play Rahm, especially that he's, you know, one of the lower owned and you could go 20% and possibly get 2X. Now, again, that could change as things come in. And it's not like Rahm has played bad here either, right? I mean, at least I think 3 top 10s or 2 top 10s. Sorry, I'm pulling it up right now. Here we go. Give me 1 second. I'll get it up. I don't know why it wasn't loaded before. Yeah, we've got 4 top 10s and 4 tries with a second place finish all the way back in 2018. I mean, that's pretty good. Obviously, top price guy you want in the top 5. But still, at low ownership, I kind of like that. You mentioned Justin Thomas. You think he's going to be most popular play of the slate? I agree. He was playing great through the fall. Didn't get a win. So are we going to see a Justin Thomas early season run like we've seen in the past? And if so, when does it fizzle out? Does it fizzle out too early again? You know, we know these guys like to gear up, but it seems like Thomas peaks early quite a bit.
Yeah, I do think there's something to that. Whether it's easy fields, easy course, he's shown a propensity to go crazy low at some of these type of an event. I don't know if that hinders him later in the year. I don't know what that means here. I think the big thing for Justin Thomas, if you're looking to back him, you're betting on positive putter regression for him. He was absolutely garbage with the putter most of last year. It held him back. Ball striking wise, I mean, nobody's Morikawa, but he's up there. He's a very good player with the irons, particularly the short irons. So if you look to him and you think the putter can flip, there's no reason not to doubt him except for ownership.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's talk about Morikawa. I think it's an ideal fit here. He came in 7th in his first try, and we know that first timers, we've heard this many times, first timers struggle here, but 7th in his opening start looks pretty good. And when you put this guy in the fairway, say 90% of the time this week, if his irons are crisp, he's going to be tough to beat unless he has an absolute atrocious putting week.
Which is possible. We've seen that before for sure. But there's no few players in the world that if you're going to tell me driving distance is a wash or where you're at, you're just in the fairway. Yeah. Morikawa's ability with the irons to mitigate, I mean, he's so good with the irons that he has times where the putter doesn't really matter because he just sticks it pretty close at every opportunity. So I get it. I think this is where it starts to get interesting because Bryson is the one guy to me who's the wild card. I think he'll be pretty low owned relative to the range. He could do it differently. Now, if he doesn't, he's going to be in trouble because there's no way his game is as good as these other guys. But he obviously possibly has a weapon that can maybe change the layout of some of these holes.
Yeah, you look at last year, right? There were 2 golfers of the 41 that played that gained over a stroke on average per round with strokes gained off the tee. Him and Sergio Garcia were it. And I think we got the most out of Bryson's ability on this golf course last year. Now, what's going to change it to this year? What could change it? Him putting better, number one. That's always going to be my answer, right? But number two, when is his iron play going to be resemblance of a PGA Tour golfer? Because much of last year, it trended toward the Korn Ferry Tour level. It just wasn't good. Now, he's so good with his driver that it made up for a lot of that. But Ben, you got to think these 80 to 110 yard shots. I mean, come on, he's got to figure it out eventually, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. I always use Rory as the example that when Rory was at the height of his driving powers, it was great until he would hit his second shot and then he would be further away from everyone that was 100 yards behind him. If you can't take advantage, and DJ is the master at this. I love how he does that. He destroys these wedges and he gives himself those opportunities a ton. So I think Bryson has that chance. The thing I like about Bryson is he's a spike putter. And what I mean by that is when he gets hot with the putter, he gets crazy hot. He gained 9.4 strokes putting at BMW, 7 strokes at Wells Fargo, 5.2 at the US Open. He does that. And then he goes cold. So for a tournament, for a 12-1 outright, I don't mind Bryson, but there's no doubt Morikawa and JT, and if you go balanced, they're safer options than him.
I think a couple of things just on the betting side that I want to make note of. If you see in the first round that Bryson is putting well, like you said, it's a spike week. If it's a spike week, he's got a chance to win. I like looking at that live. And secondly, Morikawa, if his irons look good and he has a bad putting day on day one, might be something to look into as well on the live side of betting. Maybe not so much pre-market. So now we get into a question mark. I only had one question mark of the entire field. Now I have three. Victor Hovland and Daniel Berger are missing their golf clubs. They need their golf clubs to play golf. They don't have them. Hovland's been there since last Wednesday, so for almost a week, still doesn't have him. Berger, not so much. Berger's was way more funny, his Instagram post. He was like, hey, listen, I don't have any clothes. I don't have any golf clubs. I'm just straight vibing down here in Maui. Just typical Berger. You're going to love that. So what do you make of it? These guys don't have clubs. I mean, if they don't get them, I assume they're going to play, but what do you make of their stock given that information?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not – it's not great, that's for sure. I think it's probably less of a big deal for guys like this who – they've seen the course, Berger, a number of times. Hovland played last year here. So they're so good that they can kind of – pending they get their clubs – I think it'll be no big deal, more just funny than anything else.
For sure, more content based.
Yeah, I think it's good content. Hovland's someone we're going to see. We're going to see. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that Hovland might be, you know, he might be
the five golfer in the world. Yeah.
Absolutely, and we're going to start to see. I'm not there just yet, so I'm probably coming in under on Hovland for a lot of these situations by default, because if you're not, you're allocating that he is as good as these guys that he's priced with, and he may very well be. I love Hovland in life. Just not sure that I'm paying this because he could be popular.
For sure. And now we get to somebody who you kind of just talked about, and I think is in no man's land, given the pricing, is Patrick Cantlay. We haven't seen him since he won $18 million, or however much he took down from, you know, the FedEx Cup. After a long layoff, and maybe mild ownership because of that. I'm not going to lie, Ben. I got to like Cantlay. I love Cantlay on this course. You know, I watched him play it. He plays it fantastic. He loves using all the angles. I've got absolutely no problems. You know, obviously I love Cantlay in and of itself, but I've got no problems with him this week. And I think we find him in a zone between the Hovland, the Brysons, and Xander Schauffele, who I also expect to be right behind Justin Thomas as very popular this week.
Yeah, I think if you go balanced, a lot of people are going to do that. I think you can really, there's only, I guess you could call it a range. There's only three guys in the 9K range, but all of them are very, very popular names: Cantlay, Xander, and Sam Burns. I think you're going to see a lot of people pepper two of them or play JT in one of them. Those are common builds. They make a lot of sense. They're just going to be very, very, very common.
First build that I did, just, you know, clicking the six names that I felt were best value, Xander Schauffele was the one that I clicked first. So I think you're absolutely right. A lot of those builds going to start Xander and JT, or Xander and Cantlay, or Xander and Burns. So with that in the balanced build, any way you want to leverage off of that? Do you want to stack Rahm and JT and try and play the bottom of the board, which we'll get to? Or are you more apt to go JT Xander or JT Cantlay, something like that?
I think that if you find some guys that are different at the bottom, I'm okay being very generic with a JT Cantlay on some builds. You know, if I play Bryson and stuff like that, which I like to do, I'm not going to be as cognizant. But if you have someone lower range that you think is different, maybe you just go JT Cantlay and be very safe and say, I'll let my 6K guy go up against your 6K guy.
Yeah, and Tokyo Swan in our chat, he's a good member, chats with us all the time. He's like, I don't know who to put in my lineup first without Rory here to mess it up.
Isn't that the truth?
I do love Rory at this course, though, man. He's so fun to watch play here with how far he hits it. But anyways, maybe next year he'll decide to come. All right, a couple more guys. No, let's go ahead and move into the value section. Before we do, I always tell you about the free premium tools we have. I told you about PGA rankings, but if you want to check out some other ports, player projections for NBA. You're a GPP player. Come in and get free player projections today. That is great. NBA has been killing it. And then NHL, your ownership projections are free today. So check those out. All right, right off the top in our value section here, Jordan Spieth comes in at 8,900. A bit of a comical Hero World Challenge for him. His wife forced him to play, didn't want to. He had just had the birth of his first child, Sammy, about 2 weeks prior to that. Then kind of took it as a joke, teed off on the wrong tee on the last day. I think that was done purposely, not done out of mistake. I could be wrong there, but it just certainly seemed like in the interview it was done on purpose. Now it's a month after that. He's probably had time to settle down and get into his routine with his new child. So at 8,900, do you think it presents good value or is it overpriced given all the elements with him right now?
I do think he's overpriced, but in a tournament like this, overpriced, I think, is a good thing because we know he's good enough to obviously win. And if people view you as overpriced, you don't get played as much. And we really, there's only 39 guys. So I think you have to look to some of these situations where the sentiment is no. And I think for me, when you look at the eights, Berger, Cam Smith, and Sungjae are very, very popular and very, very priced. Decky, Spieth, and Brooks specifically, I don't think anybody's really going to play. The difference there is I don't know if Brooks is in form at all or even playable. I'm not going to say he's not playable, but I'm a lot more worried about Brooks than I am someone like Spieth, that's for sure.
Let's talk about Hideki before I get to Brooks. Hideki, I try to scour, the Twitter machine and see what people are feeling, as we go on through the week. I've not heard one person write Hideki's name in anything. Do you think that affects ownership and makes ownership incredibly low and he ends up being a great leverage spot? Because he's got good history here and we know he's one of the only Morikawa-esque guys that can turn it on with their irons better than anybody else.
I think so. I really do, because I think the when you play around with the build, it comes quickly that you want to get to the 9K range.
Yep.
And then you want to get to the mid to lower eights. So that kills, I don't know what would happen in your build unless you specifically like them, where you're landing on a guy like Hideki. And to me, that's very, very interesting because he can get crazy out with the irons. It's Hideki. He's one of my favorite players. When he putts, he's unstoppable. I think that's for tournaments. That's something that you could do. I don't think you can start with him. That's a little too thin, but as a second man in, I feel very good about it.
All right, let's talk about Brooks now. Nobody wants to play him.
No.
I'm not sure I understand why, actually, though. I'm not a big Brooks backer. I never have been, but in certain situations, I think it's worth talking about. And here, I think it's one of them. Coming in as possibly the lowest owned guy above 8K, I think he ended up will. He's coming in off of a pretty good Hero World Challenge, which prior to that, he whooped Bryson DeChambeau's, just straight up cleaned him. He seems like he's coming in with pretty good momentum. And for me, I'm throwing course history out because in 2018, when he came in last, I was there, had an injury. I called the injury there, his wrist injury. And not 2 weeks later, he took surgery and missed basically the entire year. He just was taking the paycheck and then it got worse, which is fine. So I throw out course history for Brooks. I think he's in great form at 8,500. For that, $15 on DraftKings, Benny's probably going to be one of my highest owned leverage guys. I'm not going to lie.
Large field tournament, I get it, just blindly backing Brooks on a macro level. He's one of the golfers.
For exactly that reason.
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay with that. I think that when you look at him, the motivation, the health, there's a lot of things that are very unquantifiable. But at some point, if I know that I can get leverage and I only need to have like 10 or 15% Brooks, I may just do that even though I don't particularly like the play just because we know that Brooks can win anywhere he tees it up, Bermuda. I feel good about that. There's a lot of unknowns with him. And I think we've all seen at times, Brooks is just not interested. And that can be very, very difficult.
So the Hero World Challenge, was a rinky dink hit and giggle event. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But the one thing I'll say is 9 holes into the event, you knew if you didn't have Daniel Berger in your lineup, you were toast. That going to happen again this week? Just please tell me no.
Yeah, I hope. I don't mind. I think this is the range that's going to suck up a ton of ownership. Berger, Cam Smith, and Sungjae.
Yep. 80%, maybe even 100 between the three of them.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable. So what's there to say? They make a lot of sense. I don't mind it with Berger. Really good with the approach. I think he doesn't get the credit that he probably deserves with how good his irons were last year. Legitimately up there with the best. That's not something I think about with Berger. Maybe that's just me. So I'm going to get to these guys. I think you just want to be careful. If you have JT and Cantlay and now you're going to Cam Smith, you're running out of room really quickly. A lot of people are going to do that.
A one lineup for you. Are you taking any of the three, Berger and Smith? And if so, who?
I think it would be
Suggs. I have zero right now. I have zero looking for leverage. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I like those players. I want to be clear. But in something like that, I probably would say either none or just Sungjae if I started with Bryson.
Sungjae was my lean as well. I'm not going to lie. And what Ben and I are talking about now is, say, like, if you play the $500 or the $200 entry on DraftKings, you know, especially in the 200 where it's a single entry, probably not going to use any three of them because their ownership in a contest like that might approach 40% each. So it's just, I would look for leverage. Even to a guy like Abraham Ancer, Ben, let's roll right into him. Had an amazing putting week here last year. It was his first time. He came in 17th, did nothing else. If he puts like that again, with his game the way it is now, he's going to be in the top 10 pretty quickly. And I can't see him not beating any of those other three guys. So I like Ancer off of a pivot from them.
We were talking about that at the top of the show. I think you've got pivots there if you want to go down to Ancer, and then Finau if you're going aggressive, maybe a driver heavy or something. Those guys, this tournament, I hate to keep referencing it, but when you only have 39 guys and it's a non-cut, the strategy starts to become more game theory-esque, and say what you want about it, it works, it's important, and I'm approaching a lot of my decisions based off that alone.
Yeah, I understand. I'm laughing because I see Greg, our buddy in chat, telling me that I'm going to win the father-son in 2035 with my youngest Miles. I love it. That's great. Keelan asks, this is a good one. Are Brooks Bryson lineups going to be contrarian? By the way, Ben and I are talking. Absolutely. I would say maybe 30% ownership total between the two. I think I'm high there. And I think that's a great way to get leverage. You throw in one of those minimum price guys that's going to hit or close to it, and you can pretty much pick any other three guys who want in the lineup. Definitely a great way to leverage. So, all right, a couple more in here. Let's talk about guys that are coming in just absolute fire. Taylor Gooch, Mark Leishman, they're priced down a little bit. And maybe on the other side, Tony Finau. He's kind of in a smush spot. So of those three guys, I'm tending to love Tony Finau right now. I think he's in a good price. The ownership's not too high. Same with Mark Leishman. What say you on these next three?
I like Leishman. I think that Leishman is kind of – Taylor Gooch is going to be massively popular. And even Chad was just talking about, like, did we talk about Burns? Not really. Him and Xander are going to be
– Oh, yeah, sorry.
Like, two of the highest owned players. I think their price is right. I'm completely indifferent, honestly. I have nothing really to say on them. I think you should play them.
Let me ask you on Burns. Maybe this is a little bit more content. We know that his putter was insane last year.
Yes.
I mean, at times looked like the best putter on tour. If that regresses, do you think the rest of his game is good enough to maintain number 10 in the world?
No, I don't even think if the putter stays there. This top 10, and I would encourage people to do this. If you think someone like Sam Burns is in your top 10, write down your top 10, because that means you're leaving out, like, because you got him and Morikawa and Hovland are busting down the door. Well, somebody's got to give. And that's not an indictment on Sam Burns. He's been amazing. But man, is it ultra competitive up there right now. So I have nothing to knock on guys like Xander or Burns. I just know that you only can get over on enough players and you have a certain amount of percentages and shares. I'm not going to get over on those guys just by default. There's no chance.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Burns, my thought is that he outputted his ability last year. And I see him more, say, number 20 to 25 in the world, right in line with Aaron Wise. I think Aaron Wise and Sam Burns' trajectory and career are very, very similar. We just know Burns is a much better putter at this point in his career, which is why he's done better. No doubt about it. So had to bring up Aaron Wise here a little bit, Ben. I mean, I know he's not here and all, but excuse me. A couple more guys. Who withdraws this week? Kevin Na or Siwoo Kim? Please tell me neither.
Yeah, let's hope neither. A withdraw, you can shut the laptop and wait till Sony. But these are going to be the type of value plays you can look to, especially Siwoo, who can get crazy hot.
Yeah, the only thing I thought about with Siwoo is that he's the only guy that when you get tired, he's the guy that's like, all right, I'm going to give it quits. Kevin Na will withdraw prior to the tournament. Siwoo will withdraw in tournament. That's kind of the difference between those two. We skipped over Jason Kokrak, but want to go back to him because I think it's worth it. Came in 31st in his opening last year. He's another guy that outputted his ability with the putter so much. However, he made a change. He made a change at the end of last season, brought in a putting coach, changed his putting stance, and clearly it worked. He came sixth in stroke game putting last year, Ben. Crazy. But With that being said, he is one of those guys that we put in the category of, hey, if they can learn how to putt, they'll be a very good PGA Tour golfer. Luke List is in that category. I'm sure you can give me a couple of more as well. But do you think Jason Karkaraz continues to putt well this year? Even if it's not top 10, do you think he does enough to warrant a roster this week and then beyond?
I mean, I do think that he's definitely in the conversation. He's been impressive. And that's, like a lot of guys, what was holding him back. So I don't know if he can keep it up to that type of level. I'm sure it drops off a little, but clearly if he's able, I mean, this is the range of just, you've got guys like Patrick Reed, English is the champ, and then he fell off a cliff. I like Leishman, as I mentioned. There's just a lot of different things to sort through in the sevens.
Yeah, Reed and English. I'm glad you brought that up. I had them paired together because I almost feel like, I know that they're different styles, but I almost feel like their games are similar. They're neither long off the tee, neither are that accurate off the tee. Both can get hot with their irons and both rely on their flat stick to make their money, or short game, I should say. Patrick Reed around the green is good too. Do you favor one or the other this week? Because I have found myself in that 79 or 7,800 range for that last guy. Or would you rather just say leave money on the table and go down to Leishman?
I would leave some money and go to Leishman. I think that Leishman is kind of underrated right now, mid sevens. Game is in good shape. I think he's healthier than he's been. I like Leishman quite a bit.
Okay. Moving down, Billy Horschel. I do too, by the way. I've already mentioned. Sometimes when I'm with Eric and I say something like that, he's like, you disagree with me. I'm like, no, I don't disagree with you. I agree. I like Leishman over those guys. Reed over English, if I already have Leishman in the lineup, would be my pick. Going to the low sevens, Billy Horschel sticks out to me. He's a guy that it seems like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Through the fall, he went over to Europe. Seems like he played pretty well. Don't mind him here. We know that he relies on his putter, another one of those guys. I think I'd rather dip lower, but if we're talking about specific guys at seven, Billy Horschel would probably be my top pick in this range.
Yeah, Billy Ho, I mean, he just kind of does his thing. He really does. Bermuda, he's a Florida guy. He can go low. He just, again, him and Siwoo, I think are, those prices are pretty That's interesting. Cool. They could be your last man in balance builds. Probably your fifth man in some of those other types. But certainly when you're sandwiched between Kevin Na and Siwoo, you're obviously going to look a lot more stable because Kevin Na and Siwoo are two of the most erratic upside type players. And Billy Ho is not exactly that.
They are. Another one, an erratic player, not on the with jar category, just an erratic player. He'll win and then he'll miss seven cuts in a row. But when he cares about golf, Max Homa is clearly a good golfer. There's no doubt about it. Now, he goes through periods, like I said, where he looks like he doesn't care and his game is in terrible shape. Then he wins the Fortnite championship. You know, I won't say out of nowhere. It was playing pretty good. So if he cares this week, I would assume you think his price is pretty good.
I do. I do think Max Homa, you start getting into the weeds of like, who's done what, and then who's won Kapalua, and you get John Deere, and then somehow Wells Fargo has popped up a little bit. It makes no real sense. But Max Homa has shown this guy can play. I actually expect a big year from him. I know he's got some downside. To me, he misses more cuts than he should. But when you're talking about we don't have to worry about that. When you're talking about scoring, and you're talking about some maybe like top five equity down here, give me some Max Homa sub seven.
I like the call there. So, all right, now all we got left is some long shots here. So we'll talk for about 10 minutes about that or so before we pass you over to the NHL strategy show with Cliffy and Harris at 2. And then coming up at 5, we got the duo of Luffy and Adam for NBA's Deeper Dive. And then Eric and Greg are live before lock NBA at 6. I think it's 6:03, if you will. And they'll stay a little bit past lock and hang out as NBA takes the center stage tonight on a Tuesday. No NFL showdowns or millionaire makers for the Osmo team to win tonight, but still plenty of money to win on the NBA side. So let's go ahead into our launch house. Most of these golfers, if not all of them, Ben, are at 10% projected ownership or lower. I think Tyler's probably going to put that on the screen for you and show you. So of them, I'll let you just give me your top two, and then we'll kind of go one by one of the guys that you don't pick.
I'm going to go with Joel Dahman. I think that Joel Dahman is a pretty good price at 61. He's won on a, Corrales has some comps to it. Price just seems right. And then I'm going to go with Seamus Power. That'll be my second. Was close, but I think that Seamus is still kind of riding that heater. Maybe the form is it's not there because this has been a long time period from when he really exploded. But at the same time, I'm interested to see where you go. I don't like a lot of the names down here, but I know we're going to be forced into going to the EVRs or Cam Davises of the world in some of these builds.
All right. So I just got something on Joel Damon. I just throw out there. If you guys follow his caddy on Twitter, you guys already know this. And if you don't follow his caddy on Twitter, I'll tell you anyway. His caddy got stuck in the Turks and Caicos.
Oh.
Their flight. Yeah, Gino. Their flight was delayed 6 hours. So they missed their customs arrangement in Dallas. So they had to fly to Miami. Then from Miami, they had to fly to Dallas and like stay overnight. And then Dallas, you fly direct to Maui from there. So he's not going to be there until maybe right now or tomorrow. I don't think it matters all that much. You know, like I said, it's just his caddy. Just thought it was an interesting bit of content, if you will. I also like Joel Damon as one of my top ones. The other one, why almost a very comparable play in my eyes, is Erik van Rooyen. Van Rooyen really excels in his long approaches. He really doesn't excel at hitting fairways. We won't have to worry about that this week. And he's a guy that, in reality, Ben, we don't know what we're going to get because he's so volatile. He was going to lose his PGA Tour card and either head back to the Euro Tour or have to go to the KFT before, legit out of nowhere, he wins the Barracuda and now has full status. So we're going to get him again, and I don't mind this spot for him.
I'm with you. He's a frustrating player to roster. There's no doubt, but you kind of just have to live with that. I also think it's interesting. A lot of the things that you said about him, I think, are extremely applicable to fellow countryman Garrick Higo, who has destroyed. I mean, he was going like 30 under in those joke tournaments, you know, the Canary Islands Open, whatever they're called. He can go crazy low. He randomly comes over here and wins. He's done nothing. And I'm interested to see where you get with him. I prefer EVR over him, but I do think those are the type of guys when you're talking about the $15, it's not the worst idea to have some exposure to them.
Higo, I've noticed that if he putts well, and maybe this is for most people, and it's kind of a silly statement to say, but if he putts well, he is, you can see it reverberate through his whole game. His irons get incredibly hot. But if he doesn't putt well, the rest of his game, it's, I don't want this to sound like too much of a, you know, a negative thing, but it is Korn Ferry Tour level. It really is. If you look at all his statistics measured up against some of these other guys that are coming up, they're just not nearly as good. Now, he's super young. I think he's the youngest player in this field. I think he's 20 or 21 years old. So he's still got plenty of time to develop. Certainly like his game. He's got enough power to compete. So, yeah, putting, if he does, I like him. A guy that I forgot to ask you about up in the Max Homa range, he was the other question mark in this field because we saw him about 3 or 4 months ago say, I got to shut it down for the year because my back is injured. I think it was his back. Talking about Cameron Champ. So the only golfer in the field with a known injury that's been talked about. No cut event, hasn't played since announcing the injury. Does it make you nervous like it is me? Because typically in a 6,800 field, I know one of our other buddies here, Jeff Ulrich, him and I would be smashing him in a no cut event at 6,800. But because of the injury and maybe a little rust, I'm hanging off a bit.
I am too. Mostly because I think that even if there was none of that, it's no lock that Cameron Champ was going to do anything special here anyway. You're just incurring extra risk. He always has shown when he putts, it's very difficult to stop him. But at the same time, if he doesn't, and now we've got this, he's the type of guy I think his literally dead for last equity is very high. I could see him just not having it.
Yep, I agree there. Another guy that falls into the Cam Champ category of ability to play, but unlike Seamus Power, has not gained any momentum since the breakthrough in. I'm talking about Cam Davis. I look at that price. I look at his ability to score, and I'm like, yeah, I want to click it. But, Ben, he hasn't been good since his win. So what is going to make me play him, you play him? Is it 5% ownership? Is that the only thing?
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys down here are somewhat ownership dependent just because their games, they're not stable enough to say, okay, I can really target this guy in any, you know, firm way. A lot of these guys won and then they wouldn't even be on the tour if they didn't. And they certainly wouldn't be at a tournament like this outside of one start. They really didn't compete elsewhere or they won so long ago that the game doesn't even resemble that form. You got to be careful with that. Doesn't mean you can't play him, but it's not easy to hone in on those guys.
Yeah, and again, as TS mentioned in our chat there, he did win with the injury. It was plaguing him basically all year, and he just decided to shut it down. So I don't want to make it sound like he went under the knife or anything like that. He didn't. I think it was his neck. But I'll make sure that we have that for at least tomorrow. I'll give you and Eric the note there. All right, let's see. We've just got a couple of more guys here, so I'm scrolling our chat. If I missed anything, let me know, and I'll be glad to go and cover it. But the last couple of guys, Brandon Grace, Ben, can you get interested at all there? I mean, what an amazing year after, you know, losing his father to COVID. I mean, really tough off the golf course season, and he translated that into some great results. But it doesn't seem like a great fit at this golf course, maybe. I don't know.
Not overly interested. Again, I'm sure I'll end up with some of these guys as flyers, just on purely saying no one else is going to play them. Grace, the one good thing with him, and this might just be random variance, when he plays good, he plays really good. Looking at his stats over here since June of 2021, he's got four good starts inside the top 10. He's got four missed cuts along with them. So it's like very boom or bust lately. I don't know what you make of that, but I guess the one thing you could pull from that is that if you get him right, you're going to get paid off. He's not going to give you an 18th too often.
Yeah. How about the last, and we are down on the last couple of guys, which is good. Tell me who you think you're going to have the most ownership of these four or five. We got Lucas Herbert. We got Matt Jones. We got Kevin Kisner. We got Stu Sink. And we got Lucas Glover. I believe those are the last. Oh, and Phil Mickelson. Forgot about Phil.
No, he's
the most entertaining and funny golfer. Don't know if I'll be rostering him this week. But six guys, who are you going to have the most of, do you think?
It's going to be between Glover and Lucas Hebert. I think it's probably Hebert or Herbert or whatever this dude's name is.
This one's Herbert, I think. I think this one's Herbert. This is Benjamin Hebert, I think.
Hebert, Herbert, the H train. I like this guy. He's another one, though. He wins at Bermuda. Oh, wow. If he didn't win, he surrounded that with three missed cuts and five missed cuts out of seven starts. I mean,
no PGA Tour status if he doesn't win that. Yeah.
That's really, it reminds me of Higo. He's got some talent. I know he can score, but at the same time, it's like, and you know, it's absurd. I'm just looking at Chad and it was Phil. And it's like, I swear to God, I'm thinking, what the hell did Phil win? Now that's why I talk about blocking something out. That week, just forget it. But yeah, someone like Herbert, I like the talent. I just think you got to know what you're getting into.
I agree. So down below, I'm going Van Ruyen, Damon, maybe Stu Sink. I don't mind. You know, I was watching Stu with the father son. Obviously, everybody wanted to watch that. In fact, Ben, I don't know if you know this, but the final round of the father son had more viewing than Sunday at the Open Championship with Morikawa and Spieth. As the headliner there, Morikawa versus Spieth, basically. More ratings went to the father-son. That goes to show you what Tiger Woods does. Stu looked okay. He looked pretty good. Last year, he came in 31st and his first time here in a real long time. He hits the ball a long way. I don't mind Stu Sink. If he's going to really be 2% owned, which is what we haven't projected at, I'll go 5 or 10% and hope that we catch a couple of eagles.
Again, down here, unless your guy's really competing, it's all about scoring. Placement points are borderline irrelevant. Give me a guy with streaks, bonuses, all that stuff over someone who maybe finishes in 12th. If my guy finishes in 27th, but he made a quad, okay, that's fine because he made up with it for plenty of birdies and whatnot. Stuart Sink, he had an amazing run. He's obviously not to that level, but at this point, does he really need to be? Probably not. I'd rather play Herbert, but if you told me you went super aggressive up top and jammed and played Sink to round it out, I wouldn't say that's crazy.
Well, I think that covers pretty much that. Everybody in the field. I want to ask you one last question before we get out of here, though. Of course, make sure you guys like and subscribe to our channel. We love doing this stuff. I'm doing some video on demand stuff. Ben's going to be here tomorrow with Eric Lindquist breaking down everything and giving you guys a little bit of stuff to sweat for Thursday's opening round. But here's the question. We'll leave it with this. We'll see at the Sony Open next week. But Ben, does Tiger Woods play in a PGA Tour event this year?
I will say no.
No. There you have it, folks. If you're a Tiger fan like I am, hopefully Ben is wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. Believe me. I don't. I don't, I think there's, maybe I'm wrong. To me, there's a pretty big difference in what we saw Tiger just do and actually playing in a real event.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Unless he legitimately gets okayed to use a golf cart.
That's different. If he Casey Martin? Like if he gets, that's different. But if he has to walk it, I hope he does.
I can't see him walking Augusta National event. I got to be honest with you. That golf course looks incredibly hard to walk in, let alone on a broken leg or what have you. So, okay, that'll do it for our Tournament of Champions PGA DF Strategy Show. Thank you, Chad, so much for coming back. We missed you guys. We are glad to be back. And again, tune in tomorrow. Ben and Eric are going to be live before lock. So until next week, everybody at the Sony Open, cheers and good luck.